Hey, true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the power cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only comic fan podcast fueled by the sweat of Jack the King Kirby. I am your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, and the A.S. stands for always something, and I am always ready to talk about comic books, movies, and more with my pal and yours, the one, the only, John Cimino.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Are you a little mad that I didn't talk about all your accolades, your writing prowess for a back issue magazine, Alter Ego? And if I'm not mistaken, on the newsstands, maybe today, the Jack Kirby Collector, correct?
Yeah, that is. My issue is not, I think my issue is going to be on, I think 70 coming out today, or 71. My issue will be 74. I think 73 or 74.
Yeah, today is New Comic Book Day, my favorite day of the week. It's Wednesday. It's Prince Spaghetti Day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're
saying. Anthony! Comic books are here! Anthony! You know? Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of the love of my life, which we just said is comics, though you might say food, because you're
so...
Yeah,
I was thinking food.
It's neck and neck sometimes.
Carbohydrates, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, really? Well, anyway, speaking of the love of the life, let's talk about... And Valentine's Day was yesterday, and today is National Singles Day. And I want to talk about the greatest romances in comic book history.
Ooh.
You like that?
You can always come up with those good ones, Mitchie.
I know. All right, John, let's start off the bat with our favorite, since we are Spider-Man aficionados. Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane. And then I'll even throw in maybe Liz Allen or Betty Brant. But let's talk about who was Peter Parker's first love, in your opinion.
First love or greatest love?
No. First love. Then we'll go on who we think was really his true love.
Okay, well, his first love was Liz Allen, correct?
Well, see, I don't know. Was it Liz, or was she too busy with Flash Thompson? Did she ever date him?
He had crushes, too, though, right?
He had crushes on everybody. He was like a horny little bastard. He wanted Betty Brant.
But if you look at that Amazing Fantasy 15, didn't he ask all those girls and guys to all go to, what was that, at the very first page, he asked them to go to the science fair?
Yeah. Wasn't that the one with the living brain? Wasn't that the one, the science fair, he goes, the living brain runs amok, and Peter has to come and save the day as Spider-Man?
No, this is Amazing Fantasy 15, Mitch.
Oh, I'm thinking of Spider-Man 15. Oh, you're right, yes.
No, right when you open up that page, you see all the girls and the guys having a good time, and you see Steve Ditko / Peter Parker in the corner there, thinking like, hey, and he asks them to go to the science fair. Like, he asks them to go to some science club or something, and they're like, get the hell out. So he's having crushes on all those girls and all that stuff.
So, I mean, what is it? In your mind, how old is Peter Parker? About 16?
Yeah, he had to be about 15, 16 at the time.
Yeah, because I was always like, because he's Spider-Man, but he's really a boy, and a lot of people forget that. He is just a mild-mannered teenager, you know?
Correct.
So you're saying, as far as comic historians, Liz Allen was his first real crush?
Yeah, if you're going to get technical, I mean, and then, yeah, Liz Allen, but... I would say it was her, because that's the one that... But wasn't Aunt May always trying to set him up with Mary Jane at that time, too?
Always. Her best friend, Anna Watson, it was her niece, Mary Jane, that was always conveniently missing Peter by, you know, being late, or the door would open, we wouldn't see what she looked like. That was a running gag in the early Spider-Man issues forever, you know?
Yeah, and what the legend has it, too, was when Stan Lee... when Stanley first, when did they first really show her? Was that
the famous face of Tiger, you hit the jackpot, right?
Yeah, John and Romita. I think that was the big, there was a big deal for Stan because he always loved how Romita drew women.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve Ditko always, he just did not have it with the kids.
No. They all had poodle skirts. They all look like, they were not
sexy.
Well,
they all had the chastity belts on.
Yeah. Well, did he draw Gwen Stacy as well?
Yeah, he did. He got Gwen Stacy. But if you look at his women and stuff, they're all stiff and they're not pretty. And, I mean, it's just, you can, Stanley loved how Romita did it. And that's why when Mary Jane finally came and his Face of Tiger hit the jackpot, it was like Johnny Romita all the way.
They had the hourglass curves, the shape, the very voluptuousness.
Yeah, he did a lot of those romance comics, too.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he was a staple in those Dr. Kildare soap opera type of things, you know?
No, absolutely.
But so, let's get back to the character. Characters, excuse me. Now, what was the attraction with Gwen Stacy? She was nerdy. She was very brainy. She was smart, like Peter, and she was very pretty too. She was more of the not Marilyn Monroe, but maybe the what's the actress's name back in the day? Oh, Grace Kelly. She married the Prince of Monaco.
Yeah. Oh, and funny you say Grace Kelly because I'll tell you, Grace Kelly is one of the most beautiful women that has ever lived.
Yeah,
she had. I mean, you could tell she had class, radiance, and all that, but she was incredibly pretty.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you had Anne Margaret as Mary Jane. Anne Margaret was more of that.
That rocker Elvis type thing, you know?
Yeah, the Elvis thing. Yeah, that's where you had
Anne Margaret. That's a good one. I never really put that, but I could see Mary Jane being an Anne Margaret, because we all know Mary Jane loved to dance. She was always at the clubs dancing. The Go-Go's.
As Stanley said, she was a swinger.
not like the modern age swingers. She wasn't into multiple partners. She was groovy. She was groovy. But yeah, that's the thing though. Mary Jane. Okay, let's look at Spider-Man's character. Peter Parker, the nerd, the brainiac, the very reserved. That's the Gwen Stacy gentleman. That's the attraction there. Because Gwen Stacy liked Peter, too. It wasn't one-sided, right?
Right. And Buck was almost like an intellectual equal. They could relate on all these levels.
Yeah.
Mary Jane was just that wild tiger, you know, like, and kind of took him out of his shell.
But I'm saying Mary Jane was his alter ego's love, the Spider-Man, when he's the wisecracking, you know, fist-punching, jumping up in the air, energetic. That's the other half of the Peter Parker personality, and that's the one I think was attracted to Mary Jane, that sense of danger, right?
It's funny you said that. That's pretty good, too. But I'd also say that's why I love the character the Black Cat. Remember, she didn't like Peter Parker. She loved when he put on the suit.
Felicia Hardy.
Yeah. She liked that Peter Parker, and, like, she liked that. That was kind of funny, and that cat, I always thought that was a very interesting dynamic between them. But
yeah, if I recall, she would only kiss him if he had the mask on, right?
Yes! I thought that was incredibly interesting because, you're right, Mary Jane kind of had that other side of Peter Parker because there was two Peter Parkers, you know?
Well, yeah, but we all know he's the same person, obviously. So,
but I'm just talking about, like, when he donned the costume, he had to be a certain way. And when he was off the costume, like, you know, like, when he didn't have it on, he was kind of more of a timid, you know,
That stuff. So, I mean, but he was drawn to Mary Jane as well. And thus begins the dichotomy, the Archie versus Betty and Veronica. You don't know who he's going to end up with. And I think they played off on that in the 60s, the very soap opera-like. Because if you really go back and read those Spider-Mans, it's very operatic. It's very soap opera-ish.
That's true. And Stan Lee loved to put that operatic stuff in there. And he would get so many letters based on the people around Peter Parker, not just the villains and all that stuff. But that worked so well. And he did that so well.
Well, I think he was really groundbreaking in that way because I don't remember any Batman stories where he was torn between two different girlfriends because it never happened. Or Superman really only had Lois Lane. Yeah, there was Lana Lang, but that was when he was a teenager. So he was never really torn between who he's going to fall in love with. But Peter, every other day, was like, which one am I going to end up with, right?
Well, he had the thing that the Batman didn't have. It didn't have the teen angst. Like, they didn't, like...
True.
Archie had it, but it was more fun-loving and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Batman had the real operatic teen angst of, you're frustrated, you got to do all this stuff, you love this girl, you love that girl, you have troubles, you want to go out on a date, all that stuff, pimples and everything.
But And then, so let's see what happens. I mean, he did have a puppy love, I'd say you want to call it, for, Betty Brant. But she was older, I think, over at the Bugle, Mr. Jameson's secretary. I always had the impression she was much older. Maybe not a lot, but about 4 or 5 years more mature. Yeah, that was never going to happen, you know.
Yeah, didn't she start going out with...
Ned Leeds. Ned Leeds.
Yeah, was that Jonah Jameson's son?
No. Ned Leeds was the other reporter who eventually becomes the Hobgoblin down the road.
Didn't she also see J. Jonah Jameson's son?
John Jameson? No, that was Mary Jane dated John Jameson.
No, I think you're wrong. I think it was Betty Brant, the Mark of the Man-Wolf. Wasn't that
that didn't come for you. I don't think that came till like the 70s, those issues, right?
Yeah, Betty Brant also got involved with Jonah Jameson's son.
Well, let's look more at this triangle here. Harry Osborn comes into play because he makes a play for both of them. And I believe, didn't he date both as well? Didn't he date Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy?
You know, I don't know. But he always had that horrible hair, so I don't know how he got any...
I never understood that hair. I never did. I never could figure that out. Was it like wavy and they greased it back? What was the...
It was curly. It was like, it seemed to be really, really curly. And so that was always, any girl that liked him was kind of like, I was kind of like.
Well, he was the Reggie of the comic, you know? He was the very rich boy, you know? Now that I think about it, Moose is Flash Thompson. Reggie is Harry Osborn. Betty and Veronica are basically Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy. Peter's this whole thing could take place in Riverdale. It's Archie with spider powers.
And who's Jughead? Who would have been Jughead?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He doesn't really have that sidekick, does he? Peter never really had a sidekick that he could confide in. I don't know. So let's get to... He's in love with Gwen Stacy until the ill-fated issue 121, actually, when she dies, right?
And he actually kills her.
Well, see, that I never wanted to believe as a kid. I never wanted to believe that snap sound was her neck breaking, was caused from his web grabbing her leg as she fell off the bridge.
Right, the big thing was she dead already, or did his webbing do it? And Roy actually wrote in the editor's page of The Amazing Spider-Man, and he says, comes clean, and he said, yeah, that it was the webbing that snapped her neck. She was unconscious, and a lot of people didn't like to hear that, so that makes it even more tragic for him.
Oh, see, I never wanted to believe that either. I can't believe that he stupidly, accidentally caused her death. Though they did just do a recent book called The Clone Conspiracy, written by Dan Slott, and it talks about how Gwen Stacy is paralyzed by whatever drug the Green Goblin gave her, but she is conscious, but she can't react, and she sees what's happening, and she feels they're falling, and everything goes to black. So it's implied that it was Peters who snapped her neck accidentally when he grabbed her with his webbing. Then that opens the door that basically solves the love triangle, because then we see Peter headed towards Mary Jane for some, to solace there, to, you know, commiserate.
I thought they played that very good. And I also thought when he was eventually going to marry Mary Jane in the 80s, he had to go off on his own and he thought of Gwen Stacy. I love how they brought that back. Like, you know, he was on the bridge and he's thinking about Gwen.
Oh, are you talking about the Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale book called Blue? Where Peter...
No, that was... that was the actual marriage. That was the annual.
Oh, okay. Because there was another book where they went back and Peter basically writes a letter to Mary, to Gwen Stacy, you know, talking about how life was and how things changed. And at the end, Mary Jane comes in and is like, oh, were you talking to Gwen? Because she knew. I think Mary Jane always knew that really Peter wanted to be with her, but the fates didn't turn out that way, you know?
Yeah. And you know what was good? I don't know if you ever remember after the wedding between Mary Jane and Peter Parker, that the annual in Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, I don't remember the number, but the Puma was in it, but it was the honeymoon. That issue was very good because he started realizing that, you know, Mary Jane was very popular. She had a lot of guys that loved her. You know, she worked for all these model stuff, and he started to feel inadequate about that. So he went, like, because he really started being with her, and he was like, Jesus, can I live up to being as good for her as, like, you know, as she is? You know, that was a great issue, too. Like, he, you know, like, well, I said, insecurities came out.
There's a graphic novel called Parallel Lives, and it has Doc Ock as the villain. Remember graphic novels were the big thing in the 80s? They first came to, with the whole death of Captain Marvel. You know, that was a big deal. To get a graphic novel, that was kind of like, it's hard to describe what it is to nowadays, but it was a big event. Let's just say a graphic novel was a major occurrence, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they introduced characters like the New Mutants in some of them. They had that X-Men story, was it Sins of the Father?
God loves man kills.
But there was one, towards the end they became more commonplace. The novelty wore off. So I didn't get all of them after a while. And I missed this one when it initially came out, Parallel Lives. And it says basically that Mary Jane, as we know, according to Spider-Man lore, lived next door to Peter's aunt and uncle. Okay? And she had a very abusive father. In some stories he's alcoholic. And, you know, I can't remember all the details. But one night, she looks out the window, and she sees Peter leaving his house as Spider-Man. And it says that she always knew that he was really Spider-Man. Before they got married, before they went out, before Gwen Stacy, all that. What do you think about that? Do you think that's why she finally realized she was in love with him? Because she did love Spider-Man. And then she found out that the nerd was really him, so she just accepted both.
I mean, it makes sense, because, let's be honest, Peter wasn't always that... he was careful, but he made a lot of mistakes. He wasn't like Batman. He wasn't perfect.
No, he didn't have an underground cave where he came out of the woods, you know?
He had to make it work with what he had. And so it does make sense to me, and it does show like a good side of Mary Jane. Like
she kept his secret. Character. Yeah.
You know, speaking of Mary Jane knowing he was Spider-Man, I love that dichotomy of Flash Thompson always picking on Peter Parker, wanting to beat the crap out of him all the time, but loved Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, he was the president of the Spider-Man fan club at Midtown High.
Yeah. He put Spider-Man, like Peter, in that weird position. Like, he wants to beat the crap out of Flash, but he's like, but Jesus, he loves Spider-Man. So I always liked that. So going back to the original question, I think that kind of works, and I think that's kind of cool, like, that she always knew. I mean, like, it puts another depth to their relationship and stuff and how deep it was, but it seems plausible to me.
Well, you talked to writer Jerry Conway, who was the author of the famous two-part issue with Spider-Man versus the Green Goblin, in which Gwen Stacy dies, issues 121 and 122. Why did they do it? Was it slumping sales? Was it a gimmick? Was it what happened?
When Stan Lee first started going Hollywood, the only person he trusted with Spider-Man was Roy. And Roy did Spider-Man for a number of issues. Stan came back on a few, and then Roy did a few more. But Roy hated Spider-Man. He hated to write Spider-Man. He just wasn't into that whole thing. So he gave it to his buddy, Jerry Conway. And then Jerry Conway, writing this stuff, he actually did pretty good. He liked it a lot more than Roy did. But, yeah, they wanted to shake things up. And then in 121, the history goes, from what Roy said to me, too, this is actually heard from the man's mouth. They called Stan, and he asked them, because they would never kill off a character, especially on Spider-Man, like that, without Stan's permission. Because you got to remember, Stan was still the publisher. Stan was the publisher now. Roy was the editor-in-chief, but Stan was the publisher. So, anyways, Stan Dan said, go ahead, do what you ever got to do. So when the issue finally came out, Roy got the phone call, and it was Stanley saying, what happened, all this stuff. But as we all know, Stan is notoriously forgetful. And so what happened was he didn't remember that, and they didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. But even Conway had said that. But if you look at that last panel on 121, when she's dead and Spider-Man's screaming to the Green Goblin that he's going to get him, that begins the Bronze Age of comics. Right there, right that moment, boom. There it is. The Bronze Age of comics. So that's the history of it. And so
yeah, it wasn't done as a slumping sales gimmick or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to remember at that time, comic sales were dead. I mean, they were dead in the water, and they were trying to do anyway. That's where the Marvel value stamps came in. They made Stan Lee's idea to make those value stamps. He told Roy to put them in the comics because hopefully that people would buy two copies or probably buy comics that they wouldn't normally buy. That was another ploy for people to buy comic books. So, yeah, it was a dead time
Did anybody get anything from those value stamps? I mean, you collected them?
Yeah, you could. Yes, okay. I'll tell you this really quick. The first one, what you got is if you collected all those stamps,
yeah,
and then you ordered the book, and if you collected all those stamps and then you sent them into Marvel to prove that you had the books, at the 1972 or 73 Marvel convention, you got to meet Roy Thomas, and you got to go on stage with Roy Thomas. And it's funny, there's a picture of it. There's like, I think 15 to 20 kids actually put the whole thing together. And you see Roy right in the middle, and he's just with a straight face. And Roy was just kind of like, he's kind of like thrown to the wolves. You know, Roy said he most likely just wanted to keep doing his job and writing comics and something, but he had to go to this convention, he had to go there, and he had to be presentable and do this stuff, but it was hilarious. But that's what the prize was. You got to actually go to this convention and meet Roy.
Well, what if you didn't live in the New York tri-state area? What happened then?
Oh, excuse me?
What if you did not live within driving distance of the New York
Comic Con? No, you had to get there. No, you had the tickets, and you would. So kids did come. Everybody who did it across the country. There was like I said, the picture. There's like 20.
All right. But that's it, though. I mean, you didn't get like a T-shirt or a poster or anything.
You gotta think. I mean, that's a lot of money. To get that. Oh, excuse me. You also got Marvel money. And Roy told me this one. I totally forgot about it. But it was Marvel money was, at the time, Marvel was starting to get all those licensings going on. And you remember they would have the ads for some comic, you could buy some toys and all that in the comic book?
Yeah.
Okay. But you got this called Marvel Mad Marvel Money was what it's called. And basically it was to give you like a percentage off your orders for Marvel. But it was such a great sales ploy because they would buy the comics, they would buy extra comics, they would get this Marvel money that really was worthless to buy more Marvel comics. So it was a way to get the kids just to keep buying Marvel stuff. So that was the other thing you got. You got like Mad Marvel money too.
It sounds like now that we're talking about true loves, that Stan's true love was the money.
Yeah, well, but yeah, so going back to the original question, comics were at a down point. And you have to remember this, too. The actual licensing of, like, the toys that were starting to get into the market, like, that Marvel was doing, they were starting to push out there, that was actually doing better than the comics itself. That's how low comics were at that time.
Well, that's how it is nowadays. I mean, they make more money on the merchandise than they do on the book sales.
Yeah. I agree with you, but comics are horrible now.
All right. Let's stay on track. We were talking about true love. So basically, Spider-Man, I'm going to say, I think personally that his greatest love was always, is and was, will always be Gwen Stacy. Mary Jane, though he married her and all the other adventures they had, is second. It's his secondary girl. He loves her, but not as much as he did his first love, which was Gwen Stacy. That's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah, and yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, it's almost like when you go to Batman, he's had many loves, but Catwoman, despite it all, I think Selina Kyle, Catwoman will always be that.
I would say his mama, because he can't stop thinking about his mother.
But, which one is that?
What? Batman?
Is that Ra's al Ghul's daughter?
Oh, Talia al Ghul? That's another one. He's got a lot. He's at Silver St. Cloud, Vicky Vale, Talia al Ghul,
Batman had everything.
Selena Kyle. He's a millionaire playboy. You know, you don't become a playboy if you just don't, you know.
But there was something always with Selena Kyle. For me, I would always go with Catwoman. There was just, they had
that. She had that whip and everything. She knew what she was doing. Hey.
But once you put on that costume, you know?
Okay. Well, with Superman, we can't even talk about that because there's only one girl in the world for Superman. That's Lois Lane, right?
Yeah, and he's a nice guy. Like,
he's
a nice guy.
Yeah, you want him to do
it. He's a one-girl guy.
Well, what about your favorite, the Hulk? Betty Ross, that's it, is one and only? Or there was Jarella?
But what's cool is Betty Ross was Bruce Banner's, and Jarella, the long-dead Jarella, who I loved to death with a great character, was the Hulk, the love of his life.
Why hasn't that character come back?
Oh, it's almost like the Gwen Stacy. I think a lot of people kind of forgot about her and stuff. Like, once again, we're talking about, don't get
and she lived, and she lived in the gem world, if I recall, right?
Yeah, but she didn't last that long either. I mean,
no,
like,
it was only
like
a couple issues.
It was the micro universe. She lived in a micro universe.
Oh, that's true, right? And it's amazing we never saw her in the Micronauts, too. So let's go down the list here. Steve Rogers, Peggy Carter, can't get her because she's old and gray and dead. So he goes after his niece, and then that becomes her granddaughter? I mean, they've changed her origin story. So Sharon Carter is now his true love.
But wasn't he in the 80s? Have you seen that girl?
Bernie Rosenthal.
Yeah. What was her name? What was her alias?
Bernie Rosenthal. She lived next door to him.
Yeah, but there was another girl he was seeing during like the Zek times when Zek was writing.
John Byrne introduced the Bernie girl. Who else was there? Because I think her name Bernie came from John Byrne. That's where they got the name from.
Oh, okay.
Did he have another girl? He might have.
But she had like nines or diamonds on her. She wore. I can't think of her off the top of my head.
Oh, whoa! The pink outfit.
Yes. Diamond back. I'm thinking
she was in. She was in the Bloodstone story. That we're just talking about.
She gets killed too. She ends up dying later, but.
She has a name that's used by another hero later on. I'm trying to remember who though.
But,
I don't know. I'm always it's always the Carter girls for Cap. That's his girl.
Well, what about Tony Stark?
Oh, Pepper Potts, really? That's it, you know. Hey, here's one that I never could understand, and maybe you could talk as I go let the dog out here. Don Blake, is Don Blake Don Blake, or is he Thor? Does he love Jane Foster? Does Jane Foster love Don Blake? Or was that really just Odin punishing his son Thor and making him live as a mortal, Don Blake? There really was no Don Blake. What's the real thing behind that?
It's been changed so many times. But you have to. That's why I love Jane Foster. What I love about Thor and the whole Jane Foster dynamic is if you remember, you go back to Journey into Mystery when he meets Hercules for the second time, that three-issue battle. It goes on for a little bit more, but they battle for two issues. But basically, Thor goes to Asgard and he tells Odin that he's loved the mortal and that he showed him her true identity, whatever Don Blake showed him that he was Thor, and he had to go through the ritual of steel. He had to just battle all of Asgard, and he escapes to go back to Earth to see Jane Foster, and now she's already hooked up with Hercules, and they start fighting. I just thought that was so great, but you got to give it to Jane Foster, right? Jane Foster is the love of his life?
Yeah, but, well, no, as Thor, his true love is Lady Sif.
Yeah, but is it? Is it? I mean,
well, she pines for him, and I actually just said that. She pines for him. But I guess he likes her. You know what I mean? It's kind of like your mom. There's a girl next door, and she's like, oh, you two, you would be great together. But you don't really feel it. But everyone says, you'd be good. You'd be good, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, Jane Foster's going to die off. Thor lives for I was in the year, but like
that's true. Yeah, so let him have his fun, because in 50 years, when she's old and gray and dead, he'll have Sif will be immortal. So what the hell?
Yeah, and there you go.
That's true. And then
I was gonna say, let's go down the list of just heroes? Legendary relationships.
All right, I got one here. I just got my Daredevil. I got my Daredevil Omnibus in the mail yesterday. Here it is. What? Weighs a ton. Daredevil Omnibus just came out. Volume 1. Daredevil's True Love, Karen Page. Right?
I would say so, yeah. Because she was the first.
He slept around. Or maybe the Black Widow slept around. Because she was part of his life for quite some time, too.
Oh, my God. Okay, and then you got to go with Elektra. Yes.
Oh, yeah, then there's Elektra. I forgot that. Yeah.
One of the most notorious superheroes is Matt Murdock. I mean, like, and it, I don't know if you know this, but this is how good he must be in the sack, because when he had Black Widow. Him and Black Widow had a great relationship. And when she went with Hercules, she still liked Murdock more. So it was kind of funny, because I don't know if you remember when Black Widow went with the Champions. Remember that?
Remember the Champions based on the same.
But she still had a thing for Daredevil. So, I mean, you got a demigod, a Greek god, a legendary sociopath, legendary sexual Tyrannosaurus in Hercules, and she still... Having him in the sack, she still wanted Matt Murdock.
No, that's because Matt Murdock has those super senses, and God knows he could,
There's a rod in his own?
Exactly. There's part. He knows, the heartbeats, and he knows what's going on. He's got it going on. For a blind guy, he sees a lot of women.
That's a good joke. All right, I got one for you. Yeah. You ready for this one? A legendary, legendary, legendary love story. You ready?
Yeah.
Tarzan and Jane.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. There's no monkey business there. Everybody knows that.
That's almost as legendary as Superman and Lois Lane.
Really, honestly.
It's even been together longer, because Tarzan was way before Superman.
Yeah, that's it, Jane. They're one true love. Can't think of anything.
I have to admit, I wasn't so crazy about the new movie that came out, but I love the quote that when they kidnapped Mary Jane and... when he's talking and he says, "You're Jane, he's Tarzan, he will come." That's really cool. Give me another one, Mitch.
All right, let's see. A famous comic book romance.
How about a romance that you like, though?
Jean Grey and Cyclops. Boom, done. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Tragedy. The Romeo and Juliet of the mutant world.
Yeah.
But...
I'll tell you one of my, and my daughter loves this one. Too.
No, but I'm going to say, how real was the Logan / Wolverine romance with Jean Grey? Real?
No, well, it's more of a bad boy. Was she going to marry Wolverine? No, I think it was more of a fling. She was attracted to him.
Yeah.
They had that thing going on, but... Scott, and they were totally two different ends of the spectrum, because, you got Scott here and Logan over there, but Logan was, Morgan, I think he was more of a fling, and ultimately she's going to pick Scott.
All right, now go on, what's the one your daughter loves?
Oh, that I love, too. I loved Batman and Wonder Woman. I know that. I know the way that they portrayed that, even in the Justice League Unlimited, and they had a couple of little flings even in the comic.
Never.
I liked that relationship. It just that it would never work, and Batman always stated that it just can't work because I got issues and all that stuff. But I that was appealing to me.
I could never see that one. I never saw that. Well, let's talk DC. The Green Lantern. Nobody, right?
Star Sapphire, right?
Carol Ferris. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a big DC guy, so I was going to say The Flash, Barry Allen, Iris West. Now, here's one. Green Arrow, Black Canary.
That's pretty good. But see, this is a problem, because we're more old school. And if you look at the different loves of Marvel and DC. Marvel's was just so much better. There was so much drama. There was so much going on. It shows you how kind of stale, like, the DC was, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of funny that it was.
Well,
like
here's
that.
One for you. Robin and Wonder Girl in the Teen Titans.
Yes, but wasn't it Robin and Star Sapphire?
It became, after he, like, spurned the love and the advances of Wonder
right.
Girl.
I mean, you got the Teen Titans. They were all jumping on the sack with each one. I mean, they were horny teenagers, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Wonder Girl got around. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure. How about this one? If you look at another relationship that I liked, I always liked, ready for this one? Sue Richards and Prince Namor.
That one. Yeah, because you know she's with Reed, and I always thought Reed was too old for her. You know, maybe that's why she had the wandering eye.
I think Namor was the pure lust for her. She was very impressed by Reed. Reed was a great gentleman. He did the mind, all that stuff, and she truly loved him. But Namor was that desire.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe she loved him in a fatherly way because he was much older, more mature. And Namor was the passion, the physical. They got it on.
Lady Dorma. Lady Dorma. But if you know this about Namor, Namor will never be with a redhead ever again. And that's because if you know Lady Dorma, when she died, he was going to marry her. And when she died, he was the last redhead. So he's always with blonde. Now too, I mean he sleeps around with just about everybody, but
he sleeps with the fishes. I heard.
but he never goes with another redhead. That's his one thing. But oh my God, he is notorious. But I always loved that relationship between Sue and Prince Namor. There was something about it that always I loved it.
All right, let's see. What other Marvel ones can we think of? Oh, the Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Yes, the Scarlet Witch was. She had a thing for like Ionic guy, like Ionic energy was. It was funny because she also was with Wonder Man, and he was a being with Ionic energy. And same with Vision. She was always attracted to these. And I think that was even in the mid-80s. That was even brought up.
They had a miniseries, and then they had kids, but they got rid of that.
But they brought up the whole thing about her being attracted to like not. Human guys. They were like, they were these Ionic guys. It's kind of weird that, because if you think about it, her, obviously, her love Vision, he was an android. Something wrong.
Well, then Johnny Storm had a lot of girls. He had Crystal, Frankie Ray.
Yeah, Frankie Ray is the one that broke his heart because she wanted to be with Galactus, correct?
She wanted to be the Herald of Galactus. I don't think
she
was.
Yeah, she wanted to go, and she was, the Frankie Ray, yeah. But Johnny Storm had a ton. But he loved Crystal, too, you said.
And then I'm going to go old school. The Beast had Candy Sloan. Remember her?
Who?
The Beast, Hank McCoy.
Oh, yes.
Whatever. That wasn't then. There was Warren Worthington. What?
I got to admit, another love I liked. I liked Kitty Pryde and Colossus.
Oh, yeah, that was another one, too. That was a teenage puppy love, yeah.
Yeah, but remember during the Secret Wars, he breaks up with Kitty because to go to with that alien.
Yeah, with that alien healer, yeah. Yeah.
And I love that issue. I think it was 183 where he's actually talking to her about that. And then remember Wolverine and Nightcrawler bring him to this bar and he gets beaten up by the Juggernaut. They find that. They get him drunk. But I love that because Wolverine was so pissed at that because she gave up everything. Because didn't she marry, like, the Morlock guy?
Yeah.
So that he could live? And she did that for Peter. And then Peter went there and he betrayed her trust. But there was something about that healer. When she healed you, you kind of got attracted to it. Like, there was something happened with that ability. And that's how they kind of worked it out later. But I always loved that relationship.
Yeah, and then I'm just thinking about some more bizarre relationships in the Marvel U, no less, when you mentioned that. Oh, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. Another weird romance. Oh, it's Doctor Strange and Clea. That's one.
Oh, yeah.
And she's supposed to be like, isn't she supposed to be like 1,000 years old or something?
Yeah, she had like some weird thing too. I know she was like a mystic, like that thing going on.
Yeah, but, who else there? X-Men-wise. Oh, Aurora Storm hooks up and marries the Black Panther. Really?
Yes, that was another relationship I really liked. When I saw that relationship, I actually got a little upset back, and then they divorced, like, I think in 2014, because...
Yeah, they split up. Wasn't it after the Civil War? Didn't they split up about that?
Because they were on opposite sides. They both had their... they had their different feelings, but I loved that relationship, and I thought that worked so awesome, Aurora and T'Challa.
Well, let's see. I think we've run the gambit on everybody. We went over again. We're 40 minutes in to a half-hour show, so we screwed up. But, John, I'm going to end this one with you. If there was one romance you could be with, if you were a superhero, what would your love be? Who would she be?
Wow. What girl?
Well, John, I'm open to all things. It is the modern age, the 21st century. Who would be your significant other if you were a comic book character?
If I wanted a guy, I would say...
I'm not saying you wanted a guy. I'm just saying...
No. I'm going to go both here. You're right. It's the new age. It's the new millennium. So I'm going to say if it's a guy, I got to go with Prince Nemo. I think he would be the hottest thing in the world. Okay. Prince Nemo. For a girl... I have to say the John Byrne Jean Grey when John Byrne was drawing her in the 80s. I even looking at those things as a kid, I was like, oh my god, John Byrne was just so off the chart.
So you're just going for the physicality, John. You're very superficial. You're only going for the hot.
Oh, so if I'm going to go for somebody who's going to treat me well and not use and abuse me and just be a good, wholesome, good old cat, I would have to say Gwen Stacy, right?
You can't switch, John. You only had one choice. We're monogamous here at the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Yeah, so I would say maybe She-Hulk or...
You know what? We did forget one. I can't believe we didn't talk about it. The Joker and Harley Quinn. We forgot that one. But
yes, that's the new love of the new age. And Deadpool and Dead Girl.
I don't even. Lady Deadpool. Screw that. But
so what's yours, Mitch?
I was going to say the Invisible Woman because that'd be kind of weird, you know. But I'm just thinking of like some bizarre.
Okay, wait a second, though.
What?
Right now, just thinking about it, like why Invisible Girl always stays with friggin' Reed Richards. I mean, he can stretch anything.
Everybody knows that, you know. We forgot Alicia Masters and Ben Grimm. Another tragic love story, the Beauty and the Beast paraphrase. I was going to say, because it would be weird engage in intercourse with the Invisible Girl if she turned parts of herself invisible. That would just be odd. Really weird. Okay, but no, if I had to pick one, I don't know. I was a kid, I would say Catwoman, you know, because she was something else on the Batman TV show, the Julie Newmar one. I'd say, if I had to pick one, I'd go with Catwoman.
Okay, well, that's a girl, not if you had to pick a guy.
Oh, if I had to pick a guy? Well, it'd have to be Batman, Bruce Wayne, because he's got money.
and all the pain you're going to be going through, you might as well get paid, right?
Well, he'd never be home at night, so you could get, you know, you could have something going on the side. You could cheat on him, and he'd sleep during the day. And then he'd just take his money and spend it all. What the hell? Yeah, I'd hook up with Bruce Wayne. He's got a lot of issues. A lot of problems.
A lot of issues.
That's what I would do. So anyway, that wraps up another fun-filled episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, where we talked about the true lives and true loves of people that don't exist. So sad, isn't it? So sad.
So sad.
We're going to be on our deathbed wishing we had these 45 minutes back one day. All right, as we always say at the end of every show, John, as we turn the page, I didn't get done. As we turn the page to see what happens next time, how do we end this one, true believer?
And that's that.
And that's that. Good night, everybody. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.